Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to Mads World. I'm your host Mads and I'm super excited to be launching season 10. We're nearly at 100 episodes and I never thought we'd get this far, but here we are. If you're new here or if you've been enjoying the show, please remember to subscribe, rate and review the podcast as it's the simplest way to help out the show. It takes 2 seconds and I would really, really appreciate it. Or just find me on social media and tell all your friends about it. This week I'm joined by best-selling author Sophie Gravier. Sophie grew up in a town just outside Glasgow and has always had a love for the English language. At a young age, she found herself writing funny stories or poems to friends and family for special occasions, and after high school, she undertook a performing arts diploma, flourishing in her creative writing class. Sophie now works full-time as a nurse in a busy city hospital. In 2020, Sophie started writing again as a distraction from the ongoing pandemic, cheered on by fans of her hilarious blog, Sex in the Glasgow City. Sophie is now the author of 3 best-selling novels. Her first book, A Glasgow Kiss, quickly became an overnight sensation. It topped the number one spot on Amazon, and her second sequel novel, What Happens in Dubai, shot straight to number one in the charts. Sophie's third book, Meet Me in Milan, was released in August this year. In this episode, we discuss Sophie's journey as a writer, how she finds the inspiration to write romantic comedy fiction, what she loves about the genre, her writing process, creating authentic characters, putting a spin on the genre, and approaching deeper themes that don't overshadow the core of her stories. Hello, Sophie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Oh, it's so nice to be chatting with you. I'm really excited to chat about writing fiction because I've had a few writers and authors on the podcast before, but never anyone that has written a fictional story. Most of the writers I have on the podcast, they write either their own experiences or like just nonfiction about relationships or sex. So yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's get stuck into our speed date question round so everyone listening can learn a bit more about you. My first question is, what is your favorite pop culture moment ever of all time? It can be recent, it can be 10 years ago.
Oh, I love when Taylor and Kanye.
Uh-huh.
And then when Beyonce went back up and gave Taylor a moment.
Love that. That is such an iconic one. Yep. And I feel like as well, it's weird to look back on stuff like that because Taylor now is just a force. Like it's so different. Yep. Like she's like re-released all her music. She's on the Eras tour. I'm actually seeing her in Melbourne in February, which is exciting. I'm moving back home in a couple of months. So my dad got me tickets. So I'm buzzing. I can't wait.
We couldn't get tickets. Mummy girls are absolutely dying. And they were having this full dramatic moment. We were on holiday and I was trying to get the tickets. And we couldn't get them. They sold out. And Mummy girl posted on her Instagram, she only 11, like a single teardrop coming through her eye. And she wrote, it's a cruel summer after all. And I'm like, take that off.
The drama. Oh, that's so good. And then you look at where Kanye is now as well. Like, just who would have thought 10 years ago? I don't even know when that, maybe it probably was about 10 years ago now. Yeah. Like, who would have thought? Yeah. And then you think in 10 years from now, like, what will it be like? Like, who will be the next big star or who will, like, have a fall from grace?
Yep, I know. It's insane. Yeah.
Mental. My next question for you is, what is your greatest achievement?
That's a hard one because I feel like probably my greatest achievement personally, obviously I've got kids, so you're, as a mother, you always want to see your children's, but that's like a full different journey. But probably writing my first book, A Glasgow Kiss, because I never thought I would even ever write a book. So
yeah,
just writing a book and having it in my hand and being like, oh my goodness, I've actually wrote that.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I can't wait to chat to you a bit more about the process and your journey and everything. But before we get into that, I'd love to know, what is your funniest date story of all time?
Of all time.
Of all time.
There's been a few. So probably I went out on a date and it was like I hadn't dated for years. And then I had arranged to meet this guy. But the night before... the day after I was going on this date, I was going to Ibiza on a hen do, so it was all just happening all at once. So the night before I was going on holiday, I decided to go out with him, so we went into Glasgow, had a few drinks. He was very he wasn't like your typical lad or anything like that. He was just it just seemed really nice, and I didn't even know if he fancied me, to be honest. And so after it, we had a few drinks and I couldn't get a taxi home, so he was like, just come to my bit, we'll phone a taxi, it's obviously freezing in Scotland. And I was like, oh okay, we hadn't kissed, we hadn't done anything, so I was like, oh, it's totally fine. So I went back to his bit, made me a drink, that was fine. I went into the bathroom and I came out and he was naked on the floor. kneeling at the door as I walked in.
Sorry, wait, so he just assumed that this is what's happening now? What?
Yeah, so no, it gets worse. He was kneeling at the floor, right, and I was like, what is going on here?
And
he says, I've just been thinking about this all night. And I say, so I'm thinking that I've got about 3 hours before I really need to leave the airport. So I was like, nothing is happening here. And I went, oh, like, I'm not going to sleep with you. And he was like, oh, I don't want to sleep with you. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about? You're like naked. And he's like, I've just been thinking about this all night. And then he started sniffing my crotch.
What? Wait.
Sniffing full on.
Wait, so kneeling at the door of the bathroom and then just went in for the sniff, the crotch sniff.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Had you spoken about crotch sniffing
nothing,
on the date?
Nothing. We hadn't even really flirted. We were just talking about our lives and jobs.
Oh my God. Yep. Then it's also like, why be naked? You can do that like clothes.
But then, so... he says to me, then he went on and he was like, how long have you had your underwear on for?
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, a few hours. But I was actually wearing a bodysuit, so obviously it clasps at the crotch, right?
Yeah.
And then he done this kind of just, and he tugged up at my stomach, unraveled the bodysuit and just...
Oh my God.
And the worst part is, I was so shocked, I actually let him do it for a few seconds because I was looked as if I had a big baby girl, a baby's vest on, and I was just like watching him in his living room.
Oh my God. And then you just got your plane to Ibiza in 3 hours from then.
Yep.
And what I was a whirlwind. Like, I need to go. Did you tell the girlies on the plane that
happened? That's how I started, I had the fear, I had my hoodie up on the plane, and then when we arrived in Ibiza, we were sitting around the pool, and I was like, guys, the weirdest thing happened to me last night, and I started telling them.
I love that story. But also, just, like, maybe ask first, hey, do you mind if I do, God, men are so weird sometimes.
I know.
Why are they like that?
It's so bad.
I know.
Oh
God, I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing. My next question is, I'd love to speak to you a bit more about your journey as a writer. So can you start by telling our listeners a bit about yourself and your journey as a writer and how it started? Because I read that you wrote your first book in COVID, in lockdown, as like a boredom thing or just something to do. And I'd just love to hear more about that, because I did actually have a little bit of a research last night, saw a few Daily Mail articles about all kinds of stuff. So yeah, just tell me everything about the journey, because I'm fascinated.
Yeah, so I'm also a nurse, and I was working obviously during COVID, and it was horrible and everything else. And I'm a mum as well, so I've got two wee girls as well. And I used to blog, so after that horrific date with the panty sniffer, one of my friends says to me, "You should blog this." And I started like this wee online blog, and it was just like with dodgy dates, and it was just like a small community, like 2,000 people on it. It was just an Instagram page, and we used to share dodgy dates, but I was completely anonymous, so no one knew it was me. So it was so good.
What was the anonymity for? Was it because you were a nurse or because you're a mum or a mixture of both?
It was, and I think it gave me free rein to write whatever I wanted, because I didn't want like my mum reading these stories or like anything like that.
Do you know, I used to think I should do the podcast anonymously, and I was going to use a pseudonym that was like Susan So Random or something, like Susan So Random. And I think, and then I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to do it and go guns blazing.
Take the risk.
Yeah. And mum and dad will be like, "Oh, I listened to the pod on the way home today, a bit of a weird one." And I'll be like, "Oh God, like, what have you heard?"
I haven't even told my mum and dad I've got a podcast. I do not want them to listen to mine.
Love the jokes. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
So, so then, like, the blogging was fun, like loads of people would write in their dates and it would be all good, like a good laugh. But then COVID happened, so there was no dating, no anything, and I just kind of forgot about it. So one day I was at the hospital and we had to do this sort of wellness session, and this person came in to talk us all, obviously been really hard times, and we had to go around the room and say one thing that we were doing for ourselves during lockdown.
That's nice.
And so all the doctors and stuff were like, "Oh, I've started up playing the cello again." And then it was coming towards me and I'm like, "Oh my God, I lie in my house and watch Netflix. Like, literally, I do not do anything."
Yeah.
And they were all saying like they do abstract painting and running and all these, and it was coming closer, and then it came to me and they're like, "Sophie, what do you do?" And I pure was so dramatic, burst out crying, like, "Oh!" And then they couldn't even hug me, right? So they're saying, "Just let it out." And I'm like, "Just move on." It was so dramatic. I'm like, "What am I actually doing crying?" So I was totally shamed. And then that night I thought, I've always wanted to write a book. So I literally just started A Glasgow Kiss.
Oh my God. And then where did it go from there? Like, did you just submit it to a publisher? Like, how did it blow up? Because it did really well, didn't it?
Yeah. So I basically had, my idea was I would just like make it for the people that had read the blog. Like, I didn't ever think I would even get published. I looked into, like, Googled how to get your book published.
Yeah.
And it basically said there was no chance of like a first time author getting published.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, well, that's that. And then I YouTubed how to self-publish on Amazon. So I spent a lot of time researching that, and then I basically, on the 13th of December, self-published my book on Amazon. And I told like my Facebook friends, like, wasn't a lot at the time, and just some people on Instagram, I've wrote a book, it's a bit raunchy, family, please don't read it, like, and I turned my phone off because I was so embarrassed. I was like, I just can't cope with everyone's honestly. Like, oh, why she wrote a book.
Oh my God.
And when I woke up the next day, it was number one in the Amazon charts, literally overnight.
Oh my God. How did that happen? It must have been people like telling their friends, and that's so crazy.
It just blew up. Yeah. And then a publisher started approaching me.
Oh, so, love that. Well done. Honestly, I feel like that story is so similar to how I started the podcast. Like, putting yourself out there is so scary. And like, especially when you're using your existing platforms, like with friends and family and stuff, or people from school who just like just nosy people who want to see if you're going to fuck it up. And like when I put the first episode live, I was like, oh my God. I was like, I can't go on the internet today. Like everyone, it was getting thousands of listens to. I was like, fuck, everyone's sending it to their friends. It sucks. Like I'm so scared. Yeah. And then like everyone, the feedback I got was just amazing. And like everyone was like, this is the best. This is so funny. Like, and then it just grew and like people, you know, people started reaching out to me like, guests or authors like yourself or whoever, and they wanted to go on it, and I was like, oh my God. And now it's just like a proper side hustle. But I was genuinely terrified. I was like, this is so humiliating, but you just have to do it. Like
you have to take the risk.
It's the first step, and then once you do it once, it becomes normal for people, so they expect it of you. Like you said, everyone, you think everyone's going to be like, oh, why she wrote a book, why has she started a podcast, like who do they think they are or something. But then once it's like you get – and it's also like at the moment I'm trying to do more TikTok stuff because for podcasting it's just the way to go and the way to reach more people. And like I'm like just filming myself talking. I'm like, this is so cringe. Like,
I hate doing like speaking videos, and you need to talk to – my agent will message me like, we need more talking videos on Instagram. And I'm like lying in bed with these crisps like, no. Yeah.
Literally. Sometimes I do it when I'm like walking home from like an event or walking home from work or something. Cause I feel like if I've got my AirPods in and I'm walking, no one's going to be able to listen to me because they'll just walk past and hear part. They'll think I'm on FaceTime or something. And I'm like, I'm just filming myself. It's so embarrassing. But I'm like, you just got to do it. But then the thing is, once you've done it a few times, you're like, this is actually not that awkward, but it just feels cringy at the time.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Oh God. And now that you are a published author and you've been approached by different publishers, tell me everything about your new novel, Meet Me in Milan. Is it a sequel to A Glasgow Kiss? Like, just tell me everything about it.
So when I signed with the publishers, I then wrote another novel which was called What Happens in Dubai. That also went to number one in the charts, and that was a sequel to A Glasgow Kiss, and then this is the one that's coming out on Thursday is Meet Me in Milan, and that is the final in the series, so it's like a trilogy.
I'm so proud of you. It's so cool.
I know, I actually can't believe I've wrote three books, but this one is already, that one topped the charts on pre-orders alone because that many people pre-ordered it.
Oh my God.
So it's crazy.
That's amazing. Crazy. Can you give us any clues about the plot, like what, like the characters, you know, what's the themes in the book?
So the books are basically, it's like a sort of working class Bridget Jones.
Love.
And slash sort of 50 Shades but gone wrong. So there's all these steamy moments leading up to sex, and then like someone fucks it up one way or another. Like, so it's basically just taking the piss out of dating and like how there's nothing romantic actually about dating.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah. So it's just, and it's like total Glaswegian humour. So it's just loads of swearing and sex and scandal, but it's really, really funny. But there's like underlying, like there's loads of body issues and just all the sort of things that you go through when you're dating, and insecurities and like friendships and stuff like that. So everyone seems to really like it.
I can't wait to read it. That's so exciting. And what inspired you to start writing? So would you call it comedy romance fiction? What's the genre?
Yeah, I know. So people say like it's like erotic comedy fiction, but then others are like more chick lit. I would say it's probably more chick lit, but there is just a few steamy moments. There's not loads and loads, but
just constant.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, what inspired you to start writing for that particular genre?
Well, I don't know. Cause when I thought about writing, I actually thought, do I want to write like a children's book? So I've done quite a bit.
I've gone the whole opposite way.
But then because I had blogged about sex and about these dates.
It makes sense. Yeah.
I thought this was actually really fun, and sex sells, doesn't it? So
love that. And is there a particular aspect of the genre that draws you in personally?
I love the comedy. I love the patter like between the people, like the main character's called Zara and her best friend's Ashley, and they've got such a nice relationship, like no filter, just constant banter between the two of them.
Yeah.
and just a really honest friendship. And it, when I write it, it just reminds me of my best friend. So I really enjoy writing like the parts of it.
That's so fun. And then can you walk me through your typical writing process? Like, how do you approach creating creating a compelling romance narrative? And like, is it based on your personal experiences? Like, do you have certain characters that are inspired by people in your life? I know you just mentioned your best friend. Like, do you draw inspiration from everyone around you?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's different parts of the characters, and I think, well, that's like so and so, that'll be like whoever, and then you can kind of mix them in as well together. The panty sniffer guy, I put him in my first book because, yes, I thought he's the reason that I blogged. So he's in the first book.
Do you reckon he knows? Do you reckon he's read it and he's like,
that's he messaged me.
Did he? Messaged me. Shut up! Oh my god! Wait, mm-hmm. What did he say?
He messaged me. And he says, he asked me out for a drink, right?
Oh my god.
But see, after that full fiasco, sniffing the pants and stuff, he just ghosted me, right? He never messaged me or anything, which was fine. And so he randomly messaged me and asked me out for a drink like a year and a bit later.
Yeah.
And I thought I had the moral high ground here because I had been ghosted. So I was like, you know, that really surprises me. And he's like, why? Yeah. And I was like, because you totally ghosted me, like you went off the radar.
And after doing something so random as well, like, I feel like that's not, like, you know, we're not here to kink shame, do your thing.
No.
But like, that's not exactly vanilla. And there was no boundaries set. There was no like conversation. It was just classic man doing whatever he wants and expecting people to be okay. Like, that's bad from him. And then for him to ghost you, like, fuck off, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says, I only ghosted you because you wrote a fucking blog on me. And I was like,
shut up.
Yeah.
I would have actually fainted and thrown up.
And it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, so all my friends were sleeping, and I just remember pacing my house, going, right,
going, oh,
what will I say, what will I say? So I just wrote back, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, my actual God, that's so funny. And now, I wonder if he knows he's in the book. He's probably read it,
you know. He does. He's read it. But he messages me, like, really nice messages, like, oh, you're smashing it, and, like, so good funny. On you.
Isn't it weird when you go out with someone and then they become, like, a weird... sort of like a friend or like a hype man. Yeah, like I went out with this guy and we didn't really like click or anything, but he's an actor. And then he was in this BBC show and I saw him and I messaged him. I'm like, well done, mate. That's so sick. And like, then he went sober and I messaged him and I was like, so proud of you. Like, I didn't even barely know him, but like he would message me and be like, oh, I love this pic. But it's like, it's so wholesome. I'm like, this is my best friend. This is the best friend I've ever had. Like, who are you?
The energy. Yeah. I love that.
Such supportive girly energy. I'm like, yes, slay. Yeah. So funny. I had another question. So obviously romance is a genre that's known for its emotional depth. And I know that you said it was like erotic comedy fiction, but I'm assuming that there's romantic storylines that are woven in. Yeah. Love at that in a chick lit. So how do you create relatable and authentic characters that readers connect with? Because I think it's hard to keep it different and fresh when, you know, everyone's love stories are quite similar, like the stages are the same and stuff. Like, how do you keep it engaging, especially having written three books now?
Yeah, so my three books as well, like the main character is Zara. It's always an in and out with a guy in all three books. There's always like
tension.
Is she going to? Yeah. So I think the way that I keep it more relatable is by acknowledging all the insecurities, and you're obviously in her head and all the doubts that she's having. So like, he didn't text me back. He's got blue ticks. He's definitely read it. Who else is he messaging? He's online. Like, and that's all the sort of things that we do.
Yeah.
And just by keeping the relationships sort of normalize them. Like, I think a lot of books as well, when you read them, like, you can't really relate to a lot of the characters, like whether they're a billionaire and they're living in, do you know what I mean? It's not relatable. But yeah, I think just building that tension and not going straight in, and all the way you're obviously writing, it's good because you can obviously document all the looks, and whereas obviously television, it's completely different. So you're documenting all the looks and taking it slow and slow and slow, and then is it going to happen? You don't know, and then something obviously happens. So it's just building the tension, I think, throughout the full plot.
It must be challenging and fun to sort of balance originality and, you know, putting your unique spin on the classic elements of romance and chick lit novels. So you've got all of your familiar tropes that come with those novels, but then putting your spin on it, how do you keep that balance and how do you bring it back to something that makes it unique?
I think, so when I first started writing, I wanted to make sure it was more a novel because when I started dating, I felt like, I don't know, I just felt like at times when I was dating, like one guy in particular, and he's totally based on the main guy, completely different, but it was this sort of energy that I got from him. I just always felt like I wasn't good enough, and it's horrible because my friends, like when they've been dating and they've been in similar situations, you just want to shake the person and be like, it's not you, it's just not going to work out.
You want to if it's someone you love as well, you want to shake them and be like, you're awesome, like you're amazing. Like my friend was proposing to his boyfriend this weekend and I texted him and I was like, you deserve the world, like good luck, blah blah blah, and he's like, oh, you know, like I don't deserve you, like I don't deserve him. I'm like, stop, like I was like, you're making me cry, like I'm so proud of you and so excited, like, you know, like they don't deserve you. Like, this is so cool that you're doing this. So yeah, it's heartbreaking to go through that. Like seeing your friends not love themselves how you love them.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to write a book for one of my friends was feeling like that in particular. And I thought, I'm going to write, when I do this ending, I'm not going to do like a sort of stereotypical romance. She gets a guy, and more of a self journey, and make the character realize that she doesn't actually need a guy and she is actually so much happier on her own. And it's sort of a journey of self-worth. At the start, she's so obsessed with Tinder and like how many matches and why someone didn't message her back and maybe I should change my pictures and all that sort of stuff that you feel. And then at the end, she realizes she doesn't actually need that and she's quite happy just doing her thing. So I felt like that was quite unique in terms of a romantic, obviously, novel. And trying to catch the guy.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually watched Bridget Jones on Saturday and there was so much, like, it was probably considered quite progressive when it came out and quite modern and, like, you know, older single woman, blah, blah, blah. But the amount that they talk about her weight in there and, like...
Oh, my goodness. And she's not even fat one bit.
I was like, I would literally love to look like that. Like, I was like, sorry. When she's in that little bunny outfit, I was like, she looks amazing.
Insane.
And just so hot. And I was like, why do they, like... I think it's nice that, you know, you can put this modern spin on it, which actually aligns with modern day values, like watching stuff back. It's nice to see over time how people's attitudes change towards different things. And that was something else I wanted to go back to. So when you were saying about your friend, you know, feeling all these things and you wanted to write the novel from her, when you're drawing from real life experiences, how does that help to develop your characters and develop the story? Like, do you prefer, I know you mentioned earlier you like to do a bit of a crossover, but is that like, yeah, how much of it is actually true, like of what it has, it, you, what you've experienced? Because especially if you've had the blog and you've had some crazy dates and stuff, like how much of it, is drawn from your real life?
I think a lot, like you see things every day and you hear like patter, you hear like stories get mentioned and I straight away think, oh, I could put that in the book somehow. Like even if it's just a wee tiny way and just sort of worm its way in. So I would say quite a lot is drawn but completely changed, whether it's just to match the storyline. But character wise, the best friend's the main character's best friend is definitely based on my best friend Sarah.
That's so fun for her as well, isn't it? Like, is she reading it going, is this me?
And the thing is, Sarah owns a hairdresser's and it's called Bombshell. So the character was going in, obviously, when I first wrote this book, and I'm just thinking, oh, it's nothing.
Yeah.
And she was going in there to get her hair done, and the next thing, people are going into her hairdressers now and being like, oh my God, is this where Zana gets her hair done? And
she's like, what? That's so fun.
It's insane.
Oh, and have you had many people reach out to you and say that they love the story and stuff? Because if it's an Amazon bestseller overnight, like, I imagine you must get
literally hundreds of messages.
Seriously? Yeah. That's so crazy. And what kind of stuff are they saying? Just thank you for writing it and stuff like that?
Yeah. Loads of people are like, oh, I was having such a bad time and I've been reading this and you've cheered me up, like, I can't thank you enough, like all that sort of stuff. Like, they're just really really nice and positive. Or people like, I've read this in a day, when's the next one out? And I'm like, mate, calm down, that's it, me a year today.
That's a year, like, give me a year, please.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so cool. And do you get what's like the weirdest DM you've ever got? Do you ever get any really weird ones, like from men, or like anything creepy or anything funny?
I get loads of some guys just message me and just say slut, but literally that's it. And I'm like,
it's like, I wrote a whole book and you can only write one word.
I've not been on a date this year. And I'm like, I wish I was. I'm seriously needing some.
I wish I was a slut.
Or some people will then, some guys will just want to sit and tell me their dating disasters, but it's like really creepy. It's not like funny. It's just like, and then I did, and I'm just thinking, ew, stop.
Ew, stop. Like, I don't know you and I didn't ask. I know. Like,
yeah. But I've had like the last few weeks, so basically the book isn't out till Thursday. In the last few weeks, my publisher, because the Scottish holidays happen earlier than in England, so we've been in summer sooner. So my publisher arranged to put the books in Glasgow and Edinburgh Airport early. And like, these have been the weirdest DMs, because people have been buying plane tickets to go into the airport just to buy the book, like cheap flights, and then ditching the flights and leaving.
That's actually wild. Wait, so they buy a plane ticket to go into the airport to get them, and then they leave the airport.
Book, yeah, then just leave the
airport. How much is the cheapest flight? Like $20?
I think they were getting, so someone bought one to Belgium and it was like £21, and then There was some, like, you can get them from to Scotland from Ireland for like 12 quid.
That's the most flattering thing I've ever heard. That is so crazy. Cool.
Looks so crazy. Yeah.
I hope that they're listening to this episode right now and then they're like, that's me. Yeah. I love the store, I love Zara. I just want to read it.
Posted all like all over their Instagram, and it's like people walking into Glasgow Pro and they're like, yes, I'm one of these crazy people. And then what? I was sitting in the house like, oh my God, you're so mad.
That but, is yeah,
they,
sick.
They had to move them from behind like security to the front desk at Glasgow Airport, so you don't have to go through security because it was messing up with the, you know, people were getting shouted on all the time.
That is hilarious. I wonder. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I wonder if that's a common thing for people. You know what it is? It's probably more fiction because people get invested in like the character and the story, and they want to know what's going to happen and stuff. Like, it's probably less for like nonfiction, I imagine, because you're not like deeply, it's like when you're watching a TV show and you're like, I'll do anything to see what is going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
Or like the Harry Potter books when they were coming out. Like, I lined up as a kid to go and get the new one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So cool. And how do you approach incorporating deeper themes and messages into your books without overshadowing the comedy that's at the core of the structure and the romance as well? Because I know you mentioned you bring in some like more feminist messages or about self-empowerment or body image, different things like that. So yeah, how do you strike the balance between keeping it light and keeping it fun and then having those messages included too?
I think it's writing great characters is the secret. So when you're trying to do like a sort of deeper message and stuff like that, then you've got these funny characters that are going to come back with like a smart arse comment at the end of it, but you can see that it's emotional and it's powerful as well at that. So I think it's just really writing good characters. Sometimes when I'm writing it, like, I'm not in a funny mood. You can't be in a funny mood all the time. So sometimes I'll actually, I'm like, finish work, half sleep, and I'm like, just writing the plot.
Then
set it to the side. Then one day that I'm feeling more funny, I'm like putting in all the funny.
Oh my God, that's so interesting. You know what? This is really inspiring me. And I'm wondering if anyone listening is hoping to, you know, write fiction or like just go for it and try it. Like, what advice would you have to anyone wanting to do that? And also, I will be using the advice because I'm like, I've been trying to think of a nonfiction. I've been working on a nonfiction book and now I'm like, maybe I'll do fiction. It sounds fun because you can just make it up.
Yeah, literally, just do whatever you want.
Yeah, what's the best advice that you'd have? Maybe like top three tips.
I think the biggest one is not to, I think my first book was probably my favourite to write because there was absolutely no pressure from publishers, from agents, from fans, like to anyone. So I would say the first one is, don't concern yourself with like getting published or getting your story out. Like, literally just spend all your time on making the story the best it can possibly be without contacting anyone. Because I think if you put all the work, I get so many messages from people, I'm like, I'm halfway through my book, could you read? And I'm like, you need to finish the book. Like, I don't even send, I don't send it to my publishers until it's totally completed.
Yeah, fair. And they'll have their own comments and stuff anyway, right? They'll have their own.
And then they'll come back to me, So, I would say don't worry about all of the sort of getting published. Just sort of do it. If you do it for you and you're happy with it, then at the end of the day, you've wrote a fucking book. Like, it's a massive achievement just even doing that without getting published and stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing, tip two, I would say, set yourself sort of goals, like break it down. So if you're doing like 4,000 words a week or whatever, just sort of do that and try and stick to it as much as you can, or else you'll never finish it.
Yeah, like set yourself milestones and like a little treat at the end or something so you can make sure that you get it done.
Definitely.
I was going to say, what would you say in regards to writing what you know? Because that's sort of what everyone says, if you're going to write a book, write about something you know. Because if I was to write about like police procedure or something, I don't know that. But if I was to write about dating in London, I know everything. So I guess it's you can tell if it's inauthentic. But what would you say in regards to that? Because a lot of the stories are pulled from your life or your friendships. But then was there parts of the book that you had to research? Like, was there, you know, like, have you been to Milan, for example, or been to Dubai? Like, did you have to research places, you know?
Yeah. So I've been to both Milan and Dubai. And I hadn't been to Milan, and my publisher was like, we were trying to pick a place, and she was like, why don't you go to Milan? And I was like,
yeah,
oh hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
So me and my friends went out to Milan after that, just for a research trip. But yeah, I mean, you kind of take everything in the days. So like, even had to do so much research, like even going into like restaurants, and then you have to then look up the menu and look up the prices and like loads and loads of stuff like that, that takes quite a lot of time. But yep. Just loads and loads of stuff, like what the weather's like at that time, when's it getting dark at that time, like
that's so it's true.
It's quite intense when you look it up, but I mean, it just makes the story believable, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. And it's more engaging for readers as well, because like if I'm watching a show about London or I'm watching a show about Melbourne, like I know both cities I'm from Melbourne, I know both cities so in depth. So it's like when you see, you know, a coffee shop, you know, or if you read in a book, like it's like a location you've been to, you're like, oh, I've been to Hyde Park. Like
I've been there.
It's so much more engaging for the reader.
But I definitely would say when I started, obviously because I'm a nurse, Zara's an aesthetics nurse in the book. So she works in a aesthetics company. And when I started writing it, she was going to be a lawyer. And I quickly realised
I'm not a lawyer.
I don't know fucking one thing about it all. So that's okay, I don't know about nursing, so I changed it.
Oh, that's such great advice. Oh, well, it's been so wonderful having you on the podcast, and honestly inspired me so much. I'm like, oh, I've got a lot of work to do this afternoon. Maybe I'll go and write my book treatment. See if I can come up with something. But it's been brilliant having you. I can't wait to read it now. I feel like I'm really like going to go be one of those airport girlies and go and get my copy.
Love it.
But yeah, thank you so much for your time. This has been really fun.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with Sophie. Please let me know on my Instagram, TikTok, wherever, if you have any stories or thoughts of your own to share with the podcast. Peace.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.